2 Timothy 3:16, really foundational for remembering the purpose of all of God's word. It says, all scripture, means written words, the written word of God. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Every word of scripture, including the Proverbs, is God-breathed. So, Proverbs is not merely the words of men. It's not just good advice that men have accumulated over the years. It is the very word of God. And so it is profitable for teaching and reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Now, righteousness means something similar to holiness and blamelessness, right? It's a righteous life. To live Christ-like before God, reflecting His glory, His standard of righteousness. And our text this morning, which is really the introduction to the introduction of Proverbs, chapters 1 to 9 is the introduction. Proverbs will be there for a while. But this verse is the introduction to that. And it tells us exactly this very thing. It says, it is here to train us in righteousness. And we're going to even see the same words that Paul uses in 2 Timothy 3:16. So it's here to train us so that we might increase in righteous living, that we might be holy and blameless before Him. So this book is here to work in the church what Christ achieved on the cross. Just to tie these things together before we even get into the text. But we're not on a new program this morning. Same program, new book. So I trust you've been able to find Proverbs 1 in that five-minute introduction. If you're able, please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read the first seven verses. Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 7. This is what the Holy Spirit says to the church. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Father, we need your help as we come to your word. This passage even suggests this, Lord, that we need help to understand, to have knowledge. We need the Spirit to shine light onto His words so that they benefit us, so that they instruct us, so that they guide us, so that we might not be a fool who despises wisdom and instruction. Lord, I pray that we would be wise this morning and that you would teach us what you would have us to know. For the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. To know wisdom and instruction. That's how this passage starts. How important is the knowledge of wisdom and instruction? Let's begin by going to the beginning of the story. Proverbs 1 doesn't appear of nothing. Go back with me to Genesis 3, so way back to the beginning. Here we find the account of when mankind first turned from wisdom and became fools with catastrophic results. This is why we need the book of Proverbs, because this is our state. So Genesis 3, we'll read verses 1 to 7. Now the Holy... don't get that wrong. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Now that sets the scene for Proverbs 1, really, therefore, the whole book of Proverbs. Now, as we go through, we're going to see that Proverbs 1, this passage picks up a number of words from Genesis 3, actually, kind of unique words even, and brings them in to Proverbs 1. Adam and Eve had the word of God, right? God had spoken to them, "Do this and live." But they rejected that. They rejected God's wisdom. They listened to the words of the crafty serpent who said, "God's words don't bring wisdom." They believed that eating the forbidden fruit would give them knowledge, right? You will know good and evil. And the result was catastrophic. The result is the fall of man. It's death of every man who will ever live in their sin. Now, in that moment, they entered the realm of death. They were separated from the joyful presence of God. That which promised knowledge and wisdom and life brought death and ruin. And the story plays out again and again in the lives of men. Each time we sin, we reject something of the truth that God has given. We say no to what He said. And we listen to the crafty words of the serpent who says, "True knowledge comes from forbidden fruit. True life comes through forbidden fruit, through sin." That's what happens when we sin, whether we like that assessment or not. And the Proverbs are in the Bible to call us back to wisdom, and therefore to call us back to life with God. This is what life with God looks like in the book of Proverbs. Now, this passage before us, just in terms of structure, we go back to Proverbs, if you will, is, like many parts, especially the Old Testament, is a structure called a chiasm. Now, if you came to Sunday school, which you should, then you'd see chiasms on the screen here every class. Nick puts them up here. They help us understand what the passage, the structure of the passage. Now, basically how it works is a chiasm means X. So the beginning of the passage will match the end. The second part will match the second part from the end, and so on. And then they meet in the middle. And the middle is something that the author would like to highlight, to emphasize in some way. And that's how this passage works also. Now, you don't need to see those things to know what the passage means. But it helps us understand why there's repetition and why there's these patterns and what maybe we should be emphasizing. And so we're going to actually follow that pattern. This morning we're going to preach from the beginning and the end and work our way toward the middle. Now the first section is the first part of verse 2 and the end of verse 7. So verse 1 is kind of a title. We might come back to that at some later time. We won't spend time there today. But 2a, first half, says to know wisdom and instruction. And then we're going to read verse 7. And I did this with my kids this week and they picked it up. So see if you can hear some of those same words. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My kids could hear, there's three things, right? Knowledge, wisdom, and instruction. Repeated. Same thing. So the book of Proverbs is in the Bible so that we might know wisdom and instruction. And the word know here, it means more than just academic Knowledge, it means intimate knowledge. So in the book of Genesis, it says Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived a child. In the book of Amos, God says to Israel, you only have I known of all the families of the world. It doesn't mean God is unaware of other families, right? Oh, I had no idea. No, he knows them in an intimate sense. He walks with them. He dwells with them. He's devoted to them in covenant. And we are to know wisdom and instruction like that, as if we were in covenant with it. An intimate knowledge that shapes everything about what we do. It's to be with us when we rise in the morning, when we go to work, when we raise our children, when we serve the saints, when we go to bed, whatever we're doing. We are to know wisdom and instruction. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is skill, basically, to live according to God's will. Why do I say skill? God gave the craftsman wisdom to build the tabernacle. So the skill required to hammer out the gold or sew the cloth is called wisdom. It makes beautiful images. Now, the book of Proverbs doesn't tell us how to hammer gold or to shape a tabernacle, but it teaches us how to shape our lives. It's a skill for living and for right living. What is instruction? The word instruction, often translated in the Bible as discipline. Paul picks up this word in 2 Timothy 3:16, which we read. He says the Bible is profitable for training in righteousness. Same word, discipline, for training. Before a soldier is going to go into battle, he needs to be trained, or else he's going to walk in and be in great danger. You don't send untrained soldiers to the battlefront. And a Christian living in this world needs to be trained, or you're going to fall utterly. It's a dangerous world. We need to know training. We need to know discipline. This has to be the mindset of our life, because life in this world is war, isn't it? There's temptation, there's deception trying to get you on every single side. And you are being attacked from the moment you get out of bed. You have to be aware of these things. We have to have the mindset of training, discipline, seeking wisdom. We must know it. And yet there's a danger in studying the book of Proverbs. And the danger is, Proverbs gives us principles. And so we just live our lives by nice principles. And then all is well. That's all we need, right? Just principles. But the foundation of wisdom is not gathering principles and rules, although they're in there. Look at verse 7 again. What's the foundation? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So fear of the Lord, which is a proper reverence, a proper awe, it's to hold his lordship above all things in its right place in your soul. It's to live all of life in an awareness. I have been created by God. The world belongs to him, not me. He designed this world. I belong to him. I will stand before him one day and give an account for every deed in my body, good or evil. And all wisdom, all knowledge begins with that. Without that, you don't know anything about the world. You don't have a foundation. You can't understand anything rightly if you reject God. Nothing. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve didn't fear the Lord as they ought, right? They became foolish. Their actions were not just about, oh, we didn't follow the right principles. Their actions were moral, right? They rejected the word of God. They said, we don't need God's word. We need our own thing. We need our own knowledge. I need to be God in his place. They sought knowledge apart from God, not in God, and they became fools. And the word of God here says fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the foolish man in Proverbs is one who rejects the skillful way of living that God sets forth. Yeah. I don't need that. They reject training and discipline of the soul that God gives us. A fool hears the word of God and turns away. He says, that's boring. It's offensive. I don't want it. I don't need it. So all of humanity is divided into two categories, right? Those who fear the Lord and possess true wisdom and life, and those who hear the word of God, turn away, despise wisdom and rejection, and become fools. And so the question is, do you fear the Lord this morning? You fear the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, Peter's preaching. He says, Christ died for sinners, and he was raised. And he said, he's going to come back and judge the world in righteousness. And the people, some of them at least, feared the Lord. They trembled. They were cut to the heart, it says. This had an effect on them. They said, what shall we do? If we stand before the Lord, we're doomed. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be forgiven. And so the fear, those who fear the Lord, are those who turn from sin, put their faith, put their trust in Jesus Christ alone. Those who confess Jesus is the Lord, he is the judge of all the earth, and my life must conform to his lordship. That's what it means to fear the Lord. And they, all who do this, are brought back into a right relationship with God. They are saved from death and given life in Christ. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the first purpose of the book we see is to know wisdom. Instruction. The second one we see in the next line. To understand words of insight. Now that corresponds to verse 6. Look, see if you can hear some same words in there. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So we see the idea here, right? Understand words. That's what we need. If wisdom is the goal, to know wisdom, to be intimate with wisdom, understanding words is how you get there. Now, that's how you become wise. To understand means to discern, to have insight, some kind of comprehension. More, again, than just intellectual understanding. You could have a Hebrew scholar who could really understand what the Proverbs mean, right? They can understand all the words and they can give you very detailed explanations about what is intended, but if they don't understand it in their heart, it doesn't do anything. True understanding is to be shaped by the words, have them penetrate your soul and change you. Let's think about this emphasis here on words, right? To understand the words of insight. A few different ways here, right? Words of insight, proverb, a saying, words of the wise, riddles, all has to do with words. God reveals wisdom by his word. That's how he reveals it. Again, we in the garden, right? God gave Adam words. Don't eat from that tree. If you do, you'll die. Words of wisdom. Words of skillful living that would have led to life. God says, learn from words so that you live. Now, another pastor pointed out from this passage that the serpent's message was the opposite, actually. He said, you need to live your life so that you can learn something. Knowledge comes through doing the wrong thing. Not from words. It's not words to living. It's living to knowledge. He said, eat the fruit and you will know. And the result was death. And this is basically the motto of our age, isn't it? Live so that you learn. It's almost taken for granted that when you teach your kids things growing up, that they're going to reject that and they're just going to go out on their own. But that's okay, because they're going to learn by doing it the hard way and paying the price. And they're going to grow in wisdom this way. That's basically just accepted even as wisdom. Right? Oh, kids just have to learn it the hard way. They just have to do it the hard way. It's just the way it is. That's the opposite of wisdom. In the garden, this brought death. Say, well, they learned something. Yeah, they did. But they still died. Didn't change the outcome. Now, by God's grace, sometimes when we ignore God's word and we suffer consequences, God does restore. He gives us a chance to repent, but not always. Sometimes we will suffer the consequences of our folly for the rest of our lives or even for eternity. The book of Proverbs gives us extended warnings against adultery over and over again. And what happens when a man ignores the word? God gives us word. He says, if you do this, your end is death. So I ignore it. What happens? Ruin and destruction. Families are destroyed. Lives are destroyed. Trust is broken. Many men who fall into adultery, that's their exit from Christ altogether. Just walk away. This is the path I'm going. Eternal consequences. Ignoring the word. So live that you might learn is a lie from the lips of Satan. That's not the wisdom of God. God says, learn my words so that you can live. Here is life. Peter said, Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. To whom else will we go? So the path of life is understanding and obeying the words of God in Scripture. You'll only be as wise as you are filled with God's word. Don't be deceived to think wisdom comes automatically with age. Certain kinds of wisdom, maybe. But there's a lot of foolish old people in this world. There's a lot of wise young people. Wisdom is not a product of experience by itself. It depends on how you receive the word of God. Listen to Jesus' words. It's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. You know these words. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, so you hear and you do the words, will be like a wise man. It's Proverbs language, right? Who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a fool who built his house on sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That's the book of Proverbs, basically. So the wise man hears words, he does them, and he's saved in the day of calamity. The fool hears words and says, I'll do it my own way, and great is the fall of him. Calamity. So true understanding will lead to doing the word, and that leads us to the third purpose of the book of Proverbs. See it at the beginning of verse 3. To receive instruction in wise dealing. Receive instruction in wise dealing. Now there's again some connections here with Genesis 3. Proverbs 1 verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing. Some of your translations might be a bit different on the last phrase, but wise dealing. That's the same word as Genesis 3 verse 6, where the woman says, or she sees a tree and says, this is profitable to make me wise. It's the same word. And it has to do with seeing and understanding, seeing for things for what they actually are, seeing truly. The serpent said, if you reject God's word, if you eat from this tree, you will see truly. Right? You will know knowledge of good and evil. And the result was death. But here in Proverbs, the one who sees truly is the one who listens and receives the word of God. That's the one who sees truly. And that is expanded in verses 4 to 5. The result that the Proverbs are supposed to have on those who hear. Look at verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Now the word simple means something like naive. Some of your translations probably say that. It's one who's untrained, unskilled in wisdom. So the simple in Proverbs are not the exact same as the fool. It's a different category. The simple just lack wisdom. The fool has rejected it. But if the simple don't receive it, they will become the fool. Their end is the same. And the simple here are also called youth, young people. That's because the Bible understands we are born devoid of wisdom. We weren't born filled with wisdom. That's not what the world says, right? The world has this philosophy that children are born perfect, basically, and as long as you don't mess with them too much, don't influence them too much, they'll become what they were supposed to be. But the Word of God says the opposite. It says they're born fools. Folly is bound up in the heart of the child, but discipline drives it from them. It must be disciplined to be wise. We all must be. We must understand, if we do not fill our children with the wisdom of God's Word, they will not have wisdom. And if we do not fill ourselves with God's Word, we will not have wisdom. We will be foolish. So he said, why is my walk with Christ so full of weakness and failure all the time? Well, what does Psalm 1 say? Delight in the law of the Lord and meditate day and night. And you will prosper in all your ways. So if you delight, you will have success. If you don't meditate on God's Word, don't expect success. So the Word of God gives prudence to the simple. Prudence. We don't use that word a lot, I don't think, in our language. It's actually the same word as crafty in Genesis 3. The serpent was crafty. Now the Proverbs say, the Proverbs make the simple crafty, prudent. It can be used, this idea of craftiness, prudence, for good and for evil, can it? The serpent used it for evil. He used it to deceive. And this world is full of people that will use craftiness to deceive you and to try to trick you. If you watch any kind of TV and you watch ads, that's what the world's craftiness looks like. You need the thing you've never heard of. Buy it quickly. It's running out of stock, right? Craftiness. But we are to use craftiness, not to deceive, but to avoid being deceived. And so it's paired here in parallel with knowledge and discretion. What the simple lack is discretion. Simple, youthful people, right, the young, are unable to see things as they truly are. They are naive, believing what the world tells them. But we are to be prudent. We're to be discerning. We're to be skilled in seeing things as they are, so that we ourselves are not deceived. Jesus calls us to these very things in Matthew 10:16, right? He says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So, not sending you out as wolves. You're to be sheep-like. But he says, so be wise or shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. We're to have the shrewdness of serpents, so that we can understand their purposes. Now this word will bring benefit to those who hear. Look at verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. Let the one who understands obtain guidance. There is a way here for the simple to have a kind of wisdom in their simpleness. You know, a young person might not have all the wisdom, but a young person who is willing to hear and increase in learning is a wise, simple person. There's a wisdom there. He who heeds the words of instruction will be benefited by them. The one who understands will obtain guidance. They will be helped to live a life skillfully under God. They will be guided by the Word. So I want to talk to the youth here. Children, I don't know what kind of age cutoff we're going to have for children. 18, whatever. It applies to all of us, but we have a lot of children here, so I'm going to speak to you now. The Bible says, children, that you have a lot to learn, right? You don't know it all yet. It's a lot you don't know, and you need to be filled with the Word of God. And sometimes, I remember being a child, even though it was like centuries ago, and I remember thinking, my parents don't really know a lot about the world. They need to learn something from me. That's pretty stupid. It's foolish. It's not true. So you have a lot to learn from your mom and dad and from pastors of the church, other Christians in your life, older Christians. And so it's a foolish thing to say, I don't need my parents' teaching. Many times in this book, you're going to hear, my son, listen to your father's teaching. Listen to your mother's teaching. Like repeated. Because parents know you need to say it a bunch of times. Listen up. The Bible tells you, kids, if you honor your parents and you listen to their teaching, it will go well with you in this life. You want a good life? That's the path. Honor your parents, listen to their teaching. And that is true also for teenagers. Because the more you get into teenagers, sometimes you think, I especially don't need my parents' wisdom now. They're clueless. They don't even know what Taylor Swift is. They don't know the big bands out there. I can't even tell you who they are because I don't know. So I'm one of those. But you know what? If you're a teenager, you need the wisdom of others even more. Because the world is dangerous and the devil is targeting the youth. Devil's targeting you if you're a young person. If you're 13 to 18, especially up to maybe 25, 30, it's youth these days, right? The devil's going after you. You need counsel. You need the wisdom of others. Don't learn from experiencing the wrong thing, by doing it wrong. Don't learn that way because it might be too late. There might be no coming back. You need to be wise. Listen. Hear an increase in learning. And indeed, we all do. We all do. Do a quick poll here. Who has memorized the book of Proverbs and meditated on each verse so that you know fully how it applies to every area of life? Anybody? I'm just raising my hand as an example of what it looks like. To raise your hand. I have not memorized the Proverbs. So nobody. Good. Then you can keep coming back. Even if some are among the wise need to continue to increase in learning also. The wise are not those who know it all, but those who continue learning. Listen and learn. We have to have our minds and our hearts sharp if we're going to avoid falling into sin. If you ever get to the place where you're like, I know it all now, you're doomed. Because it leaks. We leak. We need to get refilled. Eve was deceived in the garden by a crafty serpent. We must be more crafty than the serpent. You have to be more cunning than your enemy if you are going to escape. He is armed with deception. We are armed with this. That's how Jesus did it in the wilderness, right? Crafty serpent came. Like, no, I know the word. You're not going to get me. So finally, we come to the center of this passage, which is the second half of verse 3. What is the wise life about? What is it? What is the essence of wise dealing? Righteousness, justice, and equity. All scripture is profitable for training in righteousness. At the center of the purpose of the book of Proverbs, we find training in righteousness. So righteousness basically means to live according to God's standards. Justice is applying the truth of those standards to the people that we live with, that we interact with. Equity, similar thing again, speaks to a level path, a straight path. They kind of all mean similar things, right? We're not going to emphasize a lot of their differences, but it's being piled up here. It's this living rightly before God in every area of life. The center of wisdom is righteous living. And that's so important because wisdom is not mainly living in a way that nothing bad happens to you. It's part of it, right? The righteous will see less trouble in certain areas. But wisdom is not just about applying principles. It's about righteousness. It's about living in the presence of God, seeking to be faithful to the will of God. That's wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, there are at least 50 verses that directly contrast a life of righteousness and a life of wickedness. They basically say, the righteous will prosper, the wicked will fall. repeatedly throughout this book, over and over and over and over again, because the center of the wise life is a moral direction of our hearts. It's about where are our hearts inclined in terms of God and His righteousness. And so a man may be wise in certain ways. You can have an excellent businessman. Right? Elon Musk, richest man on earth, I think. Very good businessman. And he might even apply some principles from Proverbs to his life. And I'm sure he does, even unknowingly, because otherwise he wouldn't have succeeded in this way. So he's great success and prosperity. But if this man doesn't pursue righteousness through Christ, and according to God's word, he is the greatest of fools because his end will be death. His riches will only go as far as the grave. That's foolish. Don't live that way. But on the other side, you can have a very ordinary man. His IQ is maybe 80 or something. I don't know, is that low? I think it's low. It's probably my IQ. Doesn't have a clue how to run a business. Doesn't know how to do that. He's not wise in the ways of the world in that way. But if he's faithful to the word of God, he says, I live rightly before God and man in all I do. That's my aim. That's a wise man. His end is life. And that is why to learn wisdom is to become holy and blameless. It's the same task. Wisdom is a skill of righteous living. And so the Proverbs train us for righteousness, even though some of the things don't necessarily look like it. I'm going to give you an example here. Go to Proverbs 6:6-8. This might sound just like good advice. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. That's insulting. Go to the ant. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in winter. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands and rest. Poverty will come upon you like a robber. Want like an armed man. So what's the message? Basically, don't depend on other people to kick you, to go to work. Be self-motivated. Go to work so that when the hard times come, you have something to provide for yourself with, right? Good advice. But it's also a call to righteousness. It's a righteous living. Because Paul picks up these themes, especially in the book of 2 Thessalonians. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to briefly outline here. He says, if someone's not willing to work, don't let them eat. Basically, don't give them freebies. He says, don't even have anything to do with them. Avoid them. He says, if you aren't willing to work, you become a burden on others unnecessarily. We're talking about willingness to work, not ableness to work. It's different. And he also says, this is First Timothy now, if you're not willing to support your family, he says, you're worse than an unbeliever. If you're that lazy or stingy, that you don't support your own family, you're not willing to, just refuse it. You're worse than an unbeliever. So this is righteousness. Setting your alarm to get up on time, to get to work hard for your employer. This is matters of righteousness, not just good advice. So you bread in the winter. These things train us for righteousness, God's righteous standard, how to be holy and blameless before Him. So let's remind ourselves of these great purposes of Proverbs we've seen. First, to know wisdom and instruction. Not just know about, right? Intimately know, meditate on them, be shaped by them, by this wisdom. Secondly, to understand words of insight. It's to know the wisdom, we must know the word of God. We must understand it. We must study. Seek the whole counsel of God in the scriptures. Psalmist says, Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart. Stored it up. Why? So that I wouldn't sin against you. The word leads us to wise and righteous living. Third, to receive instruction. Receive it. We must have open hearts, open to receive. And we must confess, we must have a humility to say, I'm still the simpleton in some ways. I don't know it all yet. There's things I don't know. And so we are to pursue discernment, understanding. So if we're not trained by the word, the devil will deceive us. That's what happens when we sin. The devil deceives us because we don't know the word. We don't know how to apply it, or we're unwilling to. And in it all, pursue righteousness and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And it begins with the fear of the Lord, built on a right relationship with God in Christ. Now the Lord's Supper is before us, proclaims, what does it proclaim until he comes? The death of Christ. Now the death of Christ, the cross of Christ, is folly to the world, right? It's foolishness. Why? Well, it tells us we're utterly lost and without hope unless God moves sovereignly in salvation. The cross tells us our sins are so terrible that only the blood of the Son of God could cleanse it. The cross tells us that glory comes only through suffering of the cross. The cross tells us true success in life is living always according to the will of God, even if that road ends in a shameful crucifixion in this life. That's a wise life. That's foolishness to the world. The cross is utter folly to the world. The world wants riches, fame, and power, and the approval of man above all. And the cross says, lose that all and gain. But to those who are being saved, the cross is the power of God, and it is the wisdom of God. This great wisdom of the cross. The Christ lost everything in the world, in a sense, for the joy set before him. And his resurrection revealed the wisdom, because all things given into his hand vindicated the wisdom of God. So did he lose the world? No. He inherited the world by losing his life. And wisdom teaches us, if we lose our lives, those sinful passions that seek us to pursue the things of the world, we will inherit the world. That's the Lord. That's what this supper teaches us. It's the wisdom of God on display. So we proclaim the wisdom of God until he returns. This meal is for you if you fear the Lord. If you have repented of your sin, you put your hope in him again. You say, all of Christ in all of life, that's the way I want to live. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They hear the word of God and they follow. So God's people obey his word. Not perfectly yet, but truly. Now, if you don't hear the voice of the shepherd this morning, this is all foolishness to you. If you don't obey the voice of God in Scripture, we ask you, don't receive this meal. We're glad you're here. This meal isn't for you. But this morning, repent and believe the gospel. Turn from folly and embrace the wisdom of God in Christ. There is mercy for all who come. Let's pray.